Romans chapter 10. We went to service last week. The preacher was preaching away about the four men that lowered the man through the roof. And he got to talking about thy sins be forgiven. And he began to discuss this sin and that sin. And I'm sitting there and the thought just hit me. What is sin? And I jotted down a few notes. And been thinking about it the last few days. And I told my wife, told the men at the mission, it's kind of hard to look at 30 years of ministry and say, you know what, I got to back up and refocus. Sin is not the deeds. Sin is unbelief. Just put it in the category. Young man from the mission years ago, we were talking, we got to talking about sin. And he done the same thing that we do. Well, if I do this, if I do this, if I do this, you know, how far up do we have to build before God gets serious? And I looked at him and I thought about it. He taught me that God doesn't start down here and say, well, you can get by with this. This isn't too bad. You're all right. You know, need to watch out. You know, God starts up here and says, here's perfection. And when you slip below that, you've sinned. You get that? We're always working this way instead of looking this way. But when we come down this way, we start again thinking about the deeds. This morning, I want you to think about one thing. Unbelief. Everything you do in your life is based on one character. Belief or unbelief. Last few days, I've really been pondering this and makes a lot of my questions a lot simpler. Romans chapter 10, starting verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you this morning for the opportunity, the privilege to open your word. Father, you know our inadequacies this morning. Lord, you've brought us to this place. We ask that your Holy Spirit will now take full control. Just give us what needs to be said. Give hearts receptive. Father, that our eyes may be opened. We may be drawn to thee. Guide us now. Bless thy honor, thy glory, and thy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Won't you notice, first of all, with me the struggle? Verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? That's our struggle. When we witness to people, we begin to tell him what God's done in our life. Now, if I don't get on your page this morning, I'm preaching to me, so y'all just ride along for free. We want to tell him, this is what God done for me. How many times when we witness someone do we tell them about the Lord? Paul here says, how are you going to call on one that you've not believed in? You're in a need. You need something in your life. You need help. Who are you going to pray to? You've heard many times, you know, the atheists don't believe in God, but you let a tragedy happen. What's the first words come out of our mouth? Oh, God. Nope, wait a minute. You can't use that. How are you going to call on who you don't believe? Galatians chapter 3, verse 22. Y'all have to kind of bear with me this morning. The memory is not there. Galatians 3:22 says, "The scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe." So the penalty, the struggle is that you're one side or the other. All are under sin, that they might come to faith, which is to believe. How should they call? What do you believe? Now, what you believe factors in every aspect of our lives. And I've become more aware of that in the last few days than I probably have in a long time. Listen to the testimony of Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy, Paul writes to Timothy, and he says in verse 13, "Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief." Now, this goes back to what I said. It's not our deeds. We want to justify ourselves by what we do and what we don't do. But Paul said, all these things that I done this through ignorance. Now, in the book of Leviticus, when it talks about the sin offering, it says, for the offering of the sin of ignorance. And I thought, well, now that's a little strange. But everything we do in life, we do from our point of view. This is how I see it. Well, this is okay, that's okay. I wouldn't dare do that, you know. Paul said, listen, I was a blasphemer. I was a persecutor. I was insulting and injurious to those around me. But I obtained mercy because I did it in ignorance. Unbelief. That's our struggle. Our struggle in life. Listen, our everyday practices, our habits, our deeds, these things come about because of what we believe. I remember many, many years ago, I got a ticket for an improper move. And me and my wife, we were still dating, and I carried her home, and I said, I got to go home. My daddy's going to kill me. And then we came over the years, and then we began to tell, you know, how kids come back and tell you stories, parents, those days, you, Mom and Dad, I'm sorry. And you go, yeah. He said, I never realized I was so hard. What we believe about God determines how we're going to live our lives. So those things that we're worried about on your list of do's and don'ts, slide that out of the picture and ask yourself the question, what do I believe about God? What do I believe about God? Listen, this is their struggle. Second of all, in Romans, he tells us in verse 14, and how shall they believe in him whom they've not heard? There's the struggle. Who are you going to call on when you need help if you don't believe in God? But how are you going to call on God if you don't know anything about him? Now again, keep that term, belief, unbelief, in your mind. How do you know? How shall they believe in him whom they've not heard? Back over in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Paul again tells us, 1 Timothy 2 verse 3, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Paul told Timothy, he said, now, God wants people to be saved. Here's the parameters. The gospel, that Jesus came, the Son of God, to die on a cross, buried, rose again, ascends back to heaven to be our mediator. One day he's coming back. He said, this is what he wants you to know. This is what he wants you to what? Believe. Okay? But let's look at the response in 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Verse number 10 says, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. He said, here's the record. Here's the record. This is it. And then he asked the question, do you believe? Sin's not really based on all the stuff we focus on. Sin is based on the statement of, what do you believe? Anything that we do not believe. God said, here's my record. And what happens for that one that says, no, I don't believe that. I don't like that. I don't want the blood. I don't want the death. You know, I don't believe he's coming back. Doubt not. And you know what we say? God, you're a liar. See, it's not the actions. We're too focused on the actions rather than on the Christ. What do you believe? He said, when you turn, when you watch, when you act, do you believe? We're in a strange age. The last few years, last 3 years, we lost our son-in-law, 36 years old, sudden death. In the next few months after that, there were about 5 young people that passed away around us. And I was thinking about the verse that says, honor thy father and mother, about the verse that says, honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth. Now, I'm not passing judgment on anybody. I'm just saying, young folks, look at your mom and dad. What respect do you have for them? And now listen, honor your father and mother. And I've talked to a lot of people, and they've told me about their parents. They've had some terrible parents. But honor your father and mother exceeds that, because he's saying, now you get up and you live your life so that when people look at you, they say, you must have had a good mom and dad. Not what they were, what are you? Comes back again to that question. What do you believe? Do you believe God is true when he says long life? Well, no, I really don't believe that. I'm going to go do what I want to do. There's the consequences. There's the sin. How can they believe if they've not heard? You've heard the record. What's your response? Fire in your book? You know, you hear those who talk about, well, I don't believe that part of the Bible, and I don't believe this part of the Bible. And let me tell you, number one question I'm getting from the men at the mission in the last 3-4 months is, preacher, somebody gave me this Bible and I read it, and then somebody gave me this Bible and I read it, and somebody gave me this Bible and I read it, and none of them read the same, and I don't know what I'm supposed to believe. Is God real? Is God true? Does His Word stand? Belief versus unbelief. Okay. Now go with me back one more time to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 14. Now, we're going to get you out in time to be in Golden Corral, first in line. Paul said, Romans 10, 14, and how shall they hear without a preacher? Verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What is salvation? What do they believe? What does the world, what do you believe? And what's your foundation? I tell many times about a friend I had at the hospital. Me and him were both contract workers. We weren't on a clock. And we'd have time, we'd stop and we'd get talking. I was Baptist, he was Pentecostal. That's a good combination right there, isn't it? And we would get to discussing things. And he would start way over here and I would start way over here. And when we started this, we made one rule. You cannot use an argument unless you have scripture to back it up. And we would get together and talk. And the more we talked and what we'd done, we came right here. We came right here. Why? Because the Word of God said, do you believe? Do you really believe? I'm not talking about up here. I'm talking about down here. Do you really believe? Think about the statement, you're the only Bible some people will ever read. So what do you believe? What is that witness? How shall they hear without a preacher? Well, first of all, there's the lips. What's your testimony? Your testimony is not who you say you are. We've been taught that too, haven't we? Give us, Brother Darrell, give us your testimony. He's going to tell us up about who he is. But what if I say, Brother Josh, you're the son-in-law. Give me Brother Darrell's testimony. Your testimony is what other people say about you. Okay? Still with me? Then what happens, the life you live, when other people are watching you, what do they know about Jesus? You're the testimony. How are they going to know? If they don't go to church, if they don't read the Bible, you know. Several years ago, we were in the middle of Sunday evening service, and the front door popped open. And about five young boys walked into the church. They came into the foyer and they stopped at the back of the sanctuary. About like the row of boys right there. And they looked at me and they looked around the church. And everybody kind of turned around and said, what's going on? And they said, we've been playing ball. Can we have a drink of water? The water fountain was sitting right there. I said, yes, sir, help yourself. And they all lined up. And they're getting water. And the oldest one kind of stepped in there, and he just keeps looking around. Now, we're talking about Hall River. We're talking about 2 miles down the road. All the little boys got their water. They all kind of gathered around the oldest one, and he looked at me, and he says, are y'all doing here anyway? Across the street from the church in Hall River, they did not know who Jesus was or what the church was all about. What do you believe? When you go to the restaurant, when you're at work, what do you believe? Not only with our lips, but our life. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. I'll start at verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. God is talking to Abraham. Before him, hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. God told Abraham, who was well into years, his wife was past childbearing, and God said, I'm going to make of you a great nation. He said, your descendants will be more than the sand by the seashore, more than the stars of heaven. Verse 19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. Verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. What does our life say? What does our life say? Not what we say. How much witness do we have without opening our mouth? For those that are watching us, how much do you believe? You see, we've been focused for years. I'm the transition class from the 60s to the 2020s. I'm from the old school. I learned from Pastor Aaron. He now classes me. If you need that old stuff, go see Pastor James. I'm the old. We were the ones that went from worshiping God to focusing on the things, to getting people to church and dropping them. I call it spiritual abortion. We witness to somebody, we get them to church, we get them under the gospel, we lead them to the Lord. And as one fellow told me, we hand them a Bible and tell them to pray, and we walk off and leave them. They don't know where to go from there. Could you imagine Abraham getting home, walking in the door, and looking at Sarah and says, honey, we got to build a nursery. He staggered not. He believed God. Your life is more than what you do. Your life is what you really, really believe. Not in your head, but in your heart. If it's in your head, you're going to have to debate about it. You're going to have to think about it and reason it over. My wife picks on me. She'll ask me something, and I'll just sit there. And she said, did you hear me? And I said, yes, but I'm thinking about it. Give me a few more minutes and I'll answer your question. If it's in your head, you got to think about it. If it's in your heart, you don't have to. What is sin? Is it what we do? Or is it what we don't believe about God? Let God be true and every man a liar. Let's bow our heads.